This month on Over the Fence, here are our impressions about the next generation. Of consoles, of course. Valve builds a pipeline to high school students. Man, I wish they would have done that a few years ago. And of course, we can't forget the Steam Summer Sale. It hurts my wallet just thinking about it. Shut up, wallet! Catch all that and more on this month's Over the Fence for August 2013.
Welcome to Over the Fence, a podcast for adventuring gamers to discuss the worlds of gaming, entertainment, and technology. We've been away for a while, but as they say, there's no time like the present. I'm Wing, and joining me this time is Patrick.
Hi.
David.
Lelos.
Eric.
My Guinness is bigger than yours.
And Jonathan.
But how well can you handle it?
First up on the agenda, E3 was a few months ago, so we've all had some time to get our thoughts together and decide how we feel about the Xbox One and the PS4, as well as the E3 time Nintendo Direct. So, what you guys think?
I think I like my computer, and I always have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, the exclusives, you know.
The problem for me was the exclusives that they really hyped up as being exclusive, almost all of them announced later in the show that, oh yeah, it's also coming to PC. Like, the only thing that really had me interested in Xbox was Titanfall, which, you know, multiplayer shooter, yeah, it's kind of generic, but it looked kind of fun. And I was like, oh, but I won't play it because it's on Xbox and I don't really care to get one. Yeah. And then PC, okay then. Well, what about Watch Dogs? PC, okay then. Like, there were very few actual console releases.
I thought Watch Dogs actually didn't announce a PC.
I believe they did. They may have rescinded that, but at the time,
I know Ubisoft is famous for, like, not announcing PC, and by the way, 3 months later, oh, here it's a PC version.
Yeah.
And as this generation is going to be, or the next generation is going to be x86, the PC version won't be as much as a port / afterthought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've noticed that a lot of console exclusives, quote-unquote, these days, tend to only be, you know, they're not just exclusive to that console like it used to be. Like, you know, you were never, ever going to see a Mario game on a Microsoft console.
You're still
just
never.
No. But these days it seems to be more along the lines, at least among Microsoft and Sony games, that it'll be an exclusive for, like, a number of years or some period of time, and then it'll get ported to the PC.
Well, Sony sticks to their guns on their exclusives, but which is sad because some of their exclusives are actually, they're equally good and bad. Mm-hmm. Like, Uncharted 3 was very good, but very bad at the same time.
Yeah, so. you have some interesting thoughts about Uncharted 3.
Oh, yeah, really? Do tell.
The Uncharted 2 is what made me buy a PlayStation 3. Like, I saw it at E3, and I'm like, I want to play that game. Mm-hmm. And so I bought the PlayStation that came with Uncharted 1 bundled, but then Uncharted 1 is not that great. Like, if you die in a section after you clear the enemies, and you have a certain loadout of weapons or whatever, it starts you at, like, a predetermined save point with a predetermined loadout, which is not the way you were when you entered that area.
Oh, I hate that.
I was like, why do I have this pistol and I don't have my AK-47?
It's such a huge slap in the face because all the way through the game earlier, you've been like, I really love this weapon, but I gotta conserve my ammo for it so I can use it later when it really counts. And then you get to a cutscene and it throws all of it out the window. And you're like, well, what the was the friggin' point?
Yeah, and it's like, and it's worse. Like the trigger points for the bad stuff, you know, long before it actually happens that it's going to happen. And, like, you have to watch the whole animation. Oh, I fell off! I'm like, oh, come on, just go back. So anyway, Uncharted 2 was just, it was a lot better. The shooting was tighter. It remembered your loadouts better. If you focused, you could manage to pretty much not die in almost every area. Uncharted 3 went back to some very bad Uncharted 1 tropes. Like, you clear this area, and you turn around, and everybody has respawned in all the places you just cleared.
Oh, respawning behind your back is, like, one of the biggest sins in gaming these days.
And they also did this whole, you clear an area, and you turn away from it, and then it would respawn again, because there's a predetermined amount of people you have to kill. And And the best part is they'll say, oh, I have to sneak through this area. Bullshit. You cannot sneak at all. It's not possible.
Cell section, yeah.
And, like, they showed it at E3 for Uncharted 3 that you could, like, get through the area without triggering anything. No, it's not possible. Something they changed, like, I even, like, reloaded saves to try to, like, absolutely do it. It cannot be done. You can get two people into the area, and that's as far as it goes. And then all hell breaks loose, and they all know you're there. Mm-hmm.
That's part of Dishonored that bothered me. Is the fact that, I mean, you're supposed to, like, sneak around enemies and basically try not to kill anybody in order to get the finger quotes good ending. I don't know. Don't spoil me anything like that.
You don't have to sneak around them, but if you kill them, you have to still remain undetected.
Right.
But when it comes to...
But it's so hard to not be detected. You basically step on a rock and Bruce goes, what's that? And you go, oh, God. Then you gotta kill them because they're hitting you with things.
Yeah, but they can't. They don't seem to be able to look up. So you can be right above them. So,
well, if you're going to sneak around above people, you might as well be Ezio Auditore.
Well, Dishonored does have the visceral, you know, stab him in the throat thing. So, but Uncharted 3, the other thing they fucked up was the shooting portions, like the way the sticks control. There's like some kind of acceleration, and it makes it really hard to like lock onto your targets. And I'm just not a big fan of dual stick shooting.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm going to play a shooter, I want to play with a mouse. So,
yeah, me too.
Metroid
Prime worked pretty well with the lock-on system. That really helped.
I haven't had a Nintendo console since the N64.
You need to play Metroid Prime!
No, he doesn't. It's fine. It's fine.
No, he needs to play Metroid Prime.
So after all this E3 stuff, I was... it was so funny, like... Microsoft did their presentation about the Xbox One, and then Sony like did their presentation that pretty much said, you know all that bullshit Microsoft's doing? We're not doing any of that. You can play used games.
Mm-hmm.
Our system isn't going to time out at 24 hours. Somebody tried to like speak against it, saying, well, you know, you're missing the benefits of... I'm like, there's no benefit. Like, the soldiers over in Afghanistan are not going to be able to get an Xbox because of this stuff, you know? So you just cut out some of your most patriotic patrons.
Yeah, especially with a large chunk of your console's titles are patriotic, red-blooded American, shoot 'em all up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
People that are so hardcore they would replace their cock with a sniper rifle if they could get away with it.
My biggest thing with the Xbox One, besides obviously the connectivity issues, the spying issues, the always-on, I hate all of that. But there was another thing that really just bugged me, and maybe it's just more because I'm in the industry a bit. But when they start mentioning about how they were actually going to offload processing onto the cloud computing servers, like, and that's it's one thing to be storage, but they were talking about offloading processing itself.
Are you talking about Sony or are you talking about
Microsoft here? And
okay, because Sony is going to do the Gaiku.
That's different.
Gaikai?
That's entirely different because that's live streaming a game that is entirely on the server.
Yeah, that's going to be their legacy. That's kind of that's how they're going to allow you to play the old titles.
And I love the idea, and I can't wait to see the rollout of that technology. But what Microsoft was selling was the idea that a game that is being run on your console and being processed on your console would offload some of that processing to a random server out in the void, and use that to make it process, quote-unquote, faster and better.
Which is a bold-faced lie.
It's a complete bold-faced lie. And when they... I forget what racing game it was. It may have been Forza. I don't know. But they were talking about how they were using this technology to form this, basically, these AI drivers that you would race against. And I'm listening at this and calling bullshit so loud that I think my neighbors heard it. Because all it is... It's gathering data and just storing it in the cloud and using those reference points to build your AI. There is nothing revolutionary about this. This is something that they've been doing more or less since Mario Kart 64.
So boil it down. I mean, does anyone have a positive impression of the Microsoft announcement?
No, I think the vast majority of it was... I might be a little fuzzy on it. I think I might be getting it confused with the console unveiling, but... Basically, until the big reversal happened, when they, you know, went back and mm-hmm. said, "Oh no, you know all that stuff that made everyone decide to boycott our console. Yeah, we aren't going to do that anymore." But
you know, the funny thing about that is, like, you have this whole like when you're like a trapped audience when it comes like to these consoles, the Xbox most importantly. They've changed the UI twice, majorly.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you want to continue using your console's online features, you have to do these updates. And so I was like, well, so you have this captive audience, and you said, well, we had all these features that you didn't like, so we turned them off. But wait a minute. If we agree to get into this situation again, and you decide later, oh, we're going to turn all those features you hated on because now, you know, you're paying and you're ours. That's the sense I mm-hmm. get from them. That's why I have no interest, not even a little bit.
Yeah.
The second bold-faced lie that really pissed me off is after the initial reveal back in February, when they said that, yeah, this is always on, and the entire console has always been built around this concept, that the internet is always on to it.
Yeah,
A week after E3, when all the bad publicity hits us hottest, they say, oh yeah, we'll just throw a switch like when you turn it on for the first time and turn that off and it'll be fine.
And
which is perfectly refuting a bold-faced lie.
Yeah,
and
straight to Angry Joe.
And I hate
Angry Joe's face. Angry Joe of that guy with the glasses.
Mm-hmm.
Had an interview with one of the guys, and he said, literally, you can't just flip a switch and turn it off. And a week later, that interview, they flip a switch and turn it off.
Yeah.
Which means that either he had no idea how his console worked, or he is a big fat liar.
Well, there's also the fact that, you know, this is
my money's on the first
software
one, by the way. I think
also,
they can
also
no
for
idea.
The record, for those of you who know Don Matrick, who's usually was the head of Xbox Games, not too long after E3 jumped ship, and he's now running Zynga, so you can see where his career is headed.
Well, yes. Zynga's also, you know, going down in flames pretty soon, so...
It's been going down in flames.
I mean, I could see the writing on the wall from, like, you know...
Oh, yeah.
It was a fad from the minute they became hot, and they should have just... They just should have had a golden parachute exit strategy.
Damn casual gamers.
So, you know...
It's not the casual gamers that bug me, it's the casual games.
I took a lot more positivity away from the PlayStation...
Mm-hmm.
announcement, the Sony mm-hmm. announcements. It's actually physically more powerful than the Xbox One, although not by a lot, although Microsoft had to upclock the GPU to so-and-so match with
I
Sony.
Always take issue about how it seems like every console cycle these days, it seems that everyone keeps going, oh, look at these specs, oh, look at these specs, oh, look how powerful it is. I'm like, who gives a damn?
Well, There's a couple things to that. Like, first off, Sony was really snotty last generation with the PS3,
mm-hmm.
and they seem to be really realizing that they need to play up to their customer. So this time, you know, because if you remember, the PS3 took a long time to get some traction mm-hmm. because developers just couldn't fucking write for it, and then even to the end, they still had problems.
Yeah.
So that's why the PS4 is a little more compatible with x86. All the features that you would want in the console are there. They were kind of like trying to pump up some features that I just don't give a shit about.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just not into the social networking nonsense.
I'm not either.
Microsoft is all about that, and I don't see what...
No, actually, what Microsoft is all about is TV.
Oh, yeah, now
TV. If anyone remembers the announcement conference... When they unveiled the console, sports TV.
Looking back
sports.
On it, I was perfectly okay with the announcement, really, with the announcement conference, because Microsoft said from the beginning, this is the mass market announcement, and the gamer announcement would be at E3.
But there's just no way anybody in the mass market wants this.
That's
no.
the problem.
Nobody
wants
to buy this $300 box that I'm going to hook up to my TV, and it's going to let me watch TV.
Even though I already bought the TV and probably a cable box.
Yeah.
And the cable box, 90% of the time, comes with DVR, so you don't need a separate device for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't see that. But none of that feature set interests me. So the Sony PS4 is the closest to, getting my dollars.
The problem is everybody loves Sony just because they're not Microsoft at this point.
Yeah.
And it's, yeah.
But, you know, the nice thing is they've kind of stayed the course, and they've made gradual changes to the PS3, but nothing that was, so earth-shattering. They're like, oh, they completely changed it to the point that
I
didn't even know how to use it.
That's, I think, the biggest problem with the Xbox One was not that the changes themselves were bad. There were bad things, sure, but the whole thing as a whole was not all so bad objectively. What it was that it was too much too soon. They tried to change everything all at once, and it just backfired, blew up right in their faces.
And with the recent news that Microsoft has had, like, blatant snooping backdoors in their operating system since Windows 95 version B, the idea of having the Kinect camera on at all times in your living room is just a little alarming to me. So they need to have, like, a little shutter where you can close it and say no. But also, even if the console is in standby, because that's the big thing this generation, they're going to all be in standby. They're never going to shut off, which is kind of what you do with your phone. I mean, same difference. But the Kinect camera is always listening.
I just want to be able to unplug the damn thing.
And I'm willing to bet that the way they're setting it up is, like, the console will not go any further until it's plugged in, which is just another reason not to get it.
Yeah. Personally, I'm not interested in the PS4 or the Xbox One. I want a Wii U. I don't have one yet because I'm poor.
You want a Wii U?
I'm so sorry.
Yes, I do.
I mean, I support... I'm a Nintendo fanboy. We all know this. But I just... I think the Wii... My problem... Okay, let me phrase it this way. My problem with Nintendo right now is that they introduced their console before anybody else. They had a huge head start, and they could have taken advantage of it, and they just did not. And really, people are only going to start picking up the Wii U at the same time the other consoles come out. They've had a whole year where they've just basically done nothing with the console.
Well,
I go to friends' houses who have Wii U's. The only thing we ever play is Nintendo Land because there aren't any other games yet right now.
Well, they also hear the controllers talk about that. They did say that it was a complete misjudgment on their part. They had misjudged how hard it would be to develop for it being in HD now. So the development cycle was longer than they had expected, so they self-admittedly dropped the ball.
They don't have any killer apps on it, and they haven't announced anything that looks like it would even resemble a killer app. Like, they're finally starting to roll out...
Smash Brothers
is the closest they're going to get to a killer app, and it's not coming out for another year, 2 years, very late into the console's lifespan. Even the 3DS, which at the time when it came out was the worst handheld to come out, and I think the Vita has done worse since. But when it came out, everyone was looking at the 3DS and it failing, and then within about 6 months, they started just pumping out title after first title that first party title. They just started pumping these out and saying, "Yep, we heard you, and here is the reason to buy this." But with the Wii U, we're sitting here what, a year and a half later? And we haven't even seen that. We haven't even come close to that. They only now announced a new Mario title, which is still a sequel to a 3DS title. They've not announced any of their other major franchises. Like, we haven't heard anything about any Kirby. We haven't heard anything about Yoshi's Epic Yarn game that's completely vanished. We're hearing a lot about the 3DS, and it's being great. But it's like the Wii U is such an afterthought.
Or they're hearing a lot of, like, stories that say, like, the games that are being ported to the Wii U or being developed for the Wii U that are going to be on other consoles, they always keep talking about the features that are not there.
And that's not helping at all.
Yeah, so that's... I mean, but usually they talk about stuff that I don't care about, but negative press is negative press.
I was going to add, because you made a point there, and I was going to add that as the counter to what I just said about Nintendo. On the other hand, they're really doing very well with the 3DS. I just got one for my birthday a few months ago, and I gotta say it's probably the best portable right now. What's really great that they've done, and this is genius, they figured out people basically like the idea of digital downloads. Skip over that. So they figured out that people like digital downloads, so all the first-party titles that they've ever made for the 3DS, plus a couple extra ones too, are available on the store for digital download, and it makes it that much more convenient, and they really figured that out, and, you know, props to them for freaking that out. That's good.
Well, I'm on the same page as Wing, not on the Wii U, but that I had a pre-order in for the PS4, and that I decided I was going to go with, like, I'm going to stick with PC, because I jumped onto the Xbox 360 bandwagon because I just felt like all the games I wanted were there and
at the time,
PC.
Right? Yeah.
And then, like, you know, very quickly everything was on the PC, and I was like, okay, well, this kind of negates the whole point of me having a console.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
My priorities right now are, once I get myself a job, please hire me. Once I get myself a job, my priorities are, first of all, new car, but then also a new computer. And I'd want to be, I want it to be like a top-of-the-line computer. That way, I won't need to get a new one for 5 years.
You need to understand what you're biting off there when you're talking about top.
Well, you know what I mean.
It can be quad SLI. It can be, you know, Xeon class i7, where we're talking, you know, $1,000 for each of those cards for the CPU, and we haven't even gotten to the motherboard case and the rest of it. We've already spent $4,000.
All right.
Top of the line is overkill in my opinion.
Well, I mean, I say top of the line, but really anything that's better than this would be an improvement at this point. Yeah. So I mean something that'll
spend as $500.
I mean something that'll be able to play games well for a couple years before it starts.
You can spend as little as $500 in a flexible system that'll allow you to upgrade stuff. You can spend as much as $900 and it'll stave off upgrades for about 2 to 3 years.
Well, so, speaking of PC gaming, Valve has set up a program called Pipeline to hopefully get high schoolers into the video game industry.
I think that's really... I haven't seen how it's played out, but I think that's a really good idea.
I haven't heard anything about it apart from that. That was it.
I mean, there's been a couple of like Full Sail and stuff that have been trying to say, you know, you want to get into the video game industry, we'll help you do it. But on the flip side, a lot of people who work in the video game industry talk about how bad it is to work there. Mm-hmm. You have to work long hours to be competitive, or they're not going to take you.
Yeah.
And it's starting to sound like it's like just this side of like, you know, Walmart employment.
Though if I had to work at anywhere in the video game industry, it would be Valve. I haven't been to their offices personally, but I've heard stories, I've seen pictures and videos. They take very good care of their employees.
Somebody
stocked snack bars and nice lobbies, and
somebody gifted a functioning turret to them.
That wasn't a gift, actually. They had commissioned those from Weta.
Weta, right? Yeah, Weta.
Weta, yeah, yeah.
As somebody who is in the industry and works in software development, though, I will warn you that the nicer and swankier an office is, and how many like amenities, like if you see that there's like a Wii in the rec room and there's ping pong tables and snack bars and that sort of thing, usually that's my sign to get the heck out of Dodge, because that means that your life, your every waking hour, is that company. So, and I'm not joking about this. It's something where I very much value my work-life balance, because I've got a small business on the side. I've got social time that I absolutely need. Otherwise, I start going pretty crazy. So it's one of those things where it's you'll hear all these things about video game devs, and you're going to get screwed if you're a small dev, because you're going to work long hours because they can't afford to hire anybody. And then you're going to get screwed if you're a big dev, because, hey, you just got hired by a big dev for this big project. You're going to work the long hours because of the privilege of you're working at Epic, or you're working at Valve, or whatever other game company is big these days.
I don't think Valve or Epic are like that, though.
They're not mean about it.
Certainly not Valve. Valve's
and I know it isn't like that.
They're flat, organization structure, but
at the same time, at Valve, they have the luxury of everybody wants to work for them.
Yeah.
So they're never going to be at a loss for good candidates. So if for any reason you start to slip, be it, you know, shit in your personal life, whatever, they can kind of look at you and say, we're watching you. We're watching you. Oh, look, this guy's better than you.
They did let some people go, but I think that was because they canceled their project.
Yeah, they canceled some projects. For the most part, they would be pretty good to work for. Just don't get the illusion that you're going to only work like a 9-to-5 and get out scot-free and have all the glamour and glory of being in the video game business. Ain't going to work that way.
I think out of all the companies that I could think of to put out a system like Pipeline, I would want Valve to do it, because they seem to have the best eye for raw talent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like they hire people like right out of college if they see something promising. Like the team from Narbacular Drop that involved into Portal was hired completely just right out of DigiPen. Like, they saw their senior project, which was Narbacular Drop, which is basically Portal.
Same thing with the entire
said,
Team Fortress.
Hey, that looks great.
Mod team,
come here. How'd you like to do that for us?
Yeah, but as I said before when we were talking about that, you know, but Valve did kind of, like, put their golden touch on it. Like, if you look at Narbacular Drop versus what Portal ended up being, they're very different, and that's Valve saying, well, let's do it this way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they were right the way they pulled it off?
I think the way I would describe it is the difference between an old reliable car and an old reliable car with a brand new shell on it. It still runs just as fine, and the gameplay is really, and the interior of it is really, really satisfying, and it works really great. But without that extra coat of paint on the outside, it just doesn't look as good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's my problem with old games, actually.
Oh.
A lot of people do things like say, but I'm talking about a lot of people do things like say, you're wrong for thinking Skyrim is a good game. Only Morrowind is good and everything else is bad because I'm right and you're wrong. And
I mean, Morrowind was good for the time,
I know,
but technically it's a little hard.
I pick it up.
Skyrim was my first Elder Scrolls game.
I pick it up and I'm just like, guys, you seriously want me to like this more than the one that just came out? Is that what you're telling me? So, you know.
The only thing I really hold against Skyrim is that it was just too wintry, too depressing.
See, that was its selling point, was I love snow. Like, more than any human.
I know you're a freak.
Yes, I know.
So, where are we? Well, we've run off the rail here.
Yeah, but speaking of Steam.
Wait, but I want to talk a little more about this thing.
Sorry.
The whole thing that I think this is good for is to help give people a direction of where they can go if they want to stay in the industry, if they want to get into this industry. Because, like, David and Chad were talking about they wanted to get into development. My thing was, like, well, you need to, like, start doing stuff. You need to start dipping your toe in the water. And that's going to allow you to, like, get some sense of what you can do, what you want to do, and then start cultivating the skills that will actually get you somewhere. This is a good idea of, like, you know, Valve says, okay, we're the people that, you know, make successful titles, and this is how we do it, and this is how you can get into this. To me, that seems like a really good approach. I'm just extrapolating a little further than, you know, maybe this actually speaks to.
No, you're dead on because...
Yeah.
Getting a job in the industry, when you get out of college, you need one of two things, or you're going to have a rough time getting that first job. And that's either an internship or a major school project that was big enough and successful enough to make waves.
Hi, guys. So that's me right now, see, because I'm coming out of school. I didn't have any internships that were involved in the industry. So now here I am with no job, looking for a job and not getting a job. And it's because I don't have any experience, even though I have a general computer science degree now.
There's a comic that somebody put on Reddit that says, you know, employers, please stop calling jobs that require 2 to 5 years experience entry level.
It's true. Yeah.
And I can guarantee you, like, if they're calling, somebody with 2 years of experience, because I just hit that threshold and I'm looking for my next job right now, it's BS. Because there's a serious, serious difference between an actual entry-level programmer and programmer position and a 2-year-level programmer and programmer position. They are almost entirely separate worlds.
Right, yeah. No, but, I mean, it's just because I just, you know, finished this degree. And it's hard because most of what I learned in school is basically going to have nothing to do with whatever I do. That's just...
Well, a lot of people don't work in jobs that their degrees are actually in anyway.
Right, but it's just because, you know, I know I want a computing job. I would have loved to do video games, but here I am, 23 years old. I don't have those skills. I don't have game
skills. It also begs the question, like, you know, what is the point of degree if so many people don't do what the degree is for?
It's an artificial wage inflator. That's all it is. The only reason people go to college, for the most part, With the exception of like doctors and lawyers, which are very important to go to college for.
It depends on where you go, because the value of the college is, of course, part of the package. But my theory on college education, and this may not be entirely correct, is that there are certain skills that you cultivate. Things like, you know, compositional skills. They focus a lot on communication and speech communication, oral communication, because that was identified as a weakness of people graduating from college. So now colleges are beefing up those programs. You also should be cultivating critical thinking skills. So these are part of the package that should come with your college education.
These are things that you're supposed to be learning in high school.
Well, having, you know, spoken to some recent high school graduates, I get the sense that, you know, there's a lot of people just do what they need to do to get by. And unfortunately, that is also working in college. which brings us back to, you know, the quality of the school that you go to has value because they are going to turn out graduates with these skills, mm-hmm. you know, guaranteed, whereas other colleges may just let you skate by.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a certain sense, like, you know, like some people we've talked to in relation to the podcast say, like, they're not interested in news. And I was like, then you need to grow up and, like, become interested because the world is happening around you at all times.
Yeah.
You know? So news is a part of your world.
Yeah.
I don't mean Fox News.
God, no. Oh, come on. I understand.
Let's not go
but
there.
But I mean, like, I'm big on, like, not consuming news from, like, say, television.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's just my technological leanings. But my whole point being that there is some value into in getting a paid education, but you may be able to specialize without having to go to college and get into the video game industry and still just be just as good.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I'm willing to bet that Tim, our site admin for the other site that we run.
Former site admin.
Not yet.
Oh, not yet, technically.
I'm willing to bet that most of his programming education came from just doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because he was scripting and writing scripts when he was in his teenage years, you know, long before he'd actually taken any classes in it.
Yeah.
And that's the thing I always say about, like, this stuff. Like, if you want to get into the video game world, start doing it, you know. Download the editors and start playing with the stuff. And that's what I like about this Valve thing is they're saying, this is the path. This is how we do it. This is how you can become part of, you know, the big picture.
Mm-hmm.
And I can imagine if you worked for Valve, even if, you know, they decided you weren't as productive an employee, I'm willing to bet that adds, you know, some kudos to your resume so you can go elsewhere.
Yeah, if you've worked at Valve, you could probably get a job pretty much anywhere else. So, I'd imagine it's kind of like Disney. Like, if you worked at Disney, you can get any job, any house, any hospitality job anywhere in the world instantly.
I thought Disney was where, like, actors went to die or something.
No. Moose actually worked at Disney for a while.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
I did. Yeah.
Yeah.
I wish he could have stayed because that he seemed really happy there.
He did, yeah. But another thing about Valve is they really know how to do marketing, which brings us to our next bullet point. The Steam sale, the Steam Summer sale, everyone's favorite time of the year.
My wallet was screaming for a rate kit.
it was difficult for me because I actually was broke during the Steam sale. Like, as in, I had no money.
I had no money either. Actually,
I only bought one or two things, and that was only after I had, you know, done some favors for people and earned a little money on the side.
Favors?
No,
oh,
I mean,
just no.
No, not.
This is a pants-free cop podcast for a reason.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, there were things that I was just doing to earn money. I wasn't like whoring myself out. I was just,
no.
You know.
So did anybody get Metro 2033?
No, I think I got it.
I have it. I haven't had a chance to play
Facebook.
It yet.
Do I?
I heard good stuff about Metro Last Light. But it's still at the full price. Yeah. Price.
I've heard it's a really good Russian survival horror shooter.
I mean, so, it looks gorgeous.
Yeah.
I started playing it and it just couldn't get into it. I think I don't know why.
2033.
Yeah.
See, I had that problem with Stalker. I just could not even remotely get into it.
I'm not going to say it's bad or anything. I just couldn't get into it.
They made a comparison between Last Light and BioShock. And once they said that, it was like, okay, well, now I'm getting closer to being on board.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
So, but I'm not ready to pay $50 for it.
Yeah, yeah. Don't spoil BioShock Infinite to me because I'm waiting until I get a computer to play it, so nobody's...
Yeah. I won't say anything, but if you see an Evangelion, that's all I'm saying.
I'm taking
my
headphones
off. That's all I'm saying.
Don't know
all
what
I said.
I've actually managed to get through this year's summer sale without spending a single cent of my own money.
And how did you do that?
Yeah, well, congrats.
They introduced trading cards, which is where, you know, you'd play a game that had them for a certain amount of time, and it would drop a trading card. And these trading cards, like, you collect, like, a standard deck is, like, 9 of individual trading cards. And you could craft them together and get, like, little badges for your profile or profile backgrounds or emoticons for instant messaging over Steam. But you can also sell them to other people on the Steam market. And I said, I would rather have the real money than the cosmetic stuff. So I just ground out the trading cards from every game I owned that had them and just sold them all instantly on the market.
I don't have you on Steam, so I can't, like...
Oh, you must have gotten caught up in a spring cleaning. Sorry about that. I'll have to add you again.
I probably kicked you to the curb first. I'm famous for that.
Oh, snap.
My whole thing is, like, I don't like having, like, a long list of people who I don't ever talk to.
Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm.
And you just kind of fell into that category. Yeah. So I was like, well, he's gotten busy with work, and we never talked to him, and I hate him because he left us, and oh my god, delete.
I'm the opposite, where I literally just have everybody that I've ever met.
I deleted you, Patrick.
What? Bitch.
I'm so sick of your aliases. It's pissing me off. What the fuck is this?
I only changed aliases a few times. Unlike every certain people who change them every day, Wing.
I've gotten better about it.
My problem with the first time Jeff did it, because, like, he messaged me with the alias. I'm like, who the fuck is this? And, like, Steam needs to put in parentheses, like, who you are, so I know
you can give people nicknames that'll stick even when they change their name.
Yeah, but they just added that.
Okay.
Yeah.
They just added that.
Well, now that's not going to be a problem for me when you re-add me, so... You can be not pissed at me.
Yeah, you better re-add me, John, or I'm going to be an unhappy. I am robo-hipster on Steam now, by the way. I've gotten, you shouldn't have said that.
There is nothing about that name that doesn't make me want to punch you in the teeth.
But you said that on the podcast. Now every one of our listeners is going to try and add you.
Well, if that happens...
Both of them will not be tempted at all.
So, Steam Summer Sale. For some of us, we were able to get by without too much, and for others, our wallets were crying. What'd you get? And basically, I guess my real question is, did you find any hidden gems?
I got nothing. I was on vacation.
Oh, you poor bastard.
Yeah. And they had, I forget the website, there's a site that does the bundles, where you pay as much as you want.
One of the Humble Bundle sites?
Yeah, and I wanted to get Metro 2033 to try it, because it was like, you know, pay what you want. But I was at the office, and it had 2 hours to go, and I had 4 hours to go, so I was like, I'm not going to be able to do it. Because, like, I can imagine my boss walking by as I'm on my phone buying a game with my credit card out.
Yep.
That would look great.
Yeah.
Yeah, those timed events are really annoying, yeah. There were, even though I really tried to not spend as much money as possible, it was only a couple bucks I spent, but I did find a couple gems. Just really, I looked at some things, I found some things that looked interesting that were really cheap at the time, and I looked around and corroborated and saw what people thought, and, you know, they were mostly good. Some of it's just old stuff, like I finally have the original Deus Ex and System Shock 2. They were like a buck or something.
I never wanted the original Deus Ex.
I played it back in the day, so it's got nostalgia filter going. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's ugly, but first of all, they're mods. There's mods. Second of all, I don't really mind because, you know, I can't play the new Deus Ex because it makes my computer crap its pants, so I can't play it.
When you do, you're going to be such a changed man.
I know. I started playing it, and then I was like, I can't do this because it was like 5 frames a second. It was just, I couldn't do it. Yeah. And
by the way, you're getting NVIDIA for your video card.
Yes,
you are. Trust me.
Yeah, why would I not? I've been on the NVIDIA boat since I was like 15, folks.
I gave Radon one last try when I built my new rig. It was just the, okay, guys, you can get a little bit more power out of this, and it's been 5 years since I last had one of your cards. Just, I'm giving you one last shot. And it was, the card itself was so unstable that it was pretty much crashing my computer left and right. So it's, yeah, card was gone. I bought, with the trade-in and like an extra $20, I bought the absolute, like, best modded GTX 650 Ti that I possibly could. And it the thing has pretty much smoked ever since.
Wow.
Yeah, I have I bought that Radeon HD 5850 at the recommendation of Nick or Nareem. And he's like, they're quieter, they're more energy efficient, and the drivers are stable. I'm like, well, everything but that last part is correct.
Yep.
The drivers were not stable. Borderlands, which had never given me any problems, had a memory leak.
Bum.
To the point that, like, eventually it would just consume all my memory and the system would crash.
Well, you guys are going to help me fill my podcast.
Yeah, so I went back to NVIDIA, and like I could alt tab out of my games again, and like NVIDIA drivers tend to normally just get better in tiny increments every time you get a new one. The Radeon, if you go with the newest driver, you might completely tank the stability of your operating system, or it might get a little better. And it's kind of a, you know, it's kind of Russian roulette. That's why I'm like, just no, don't do ATI.
Right. Yeah. Well, I'll have to take your advice when I build my machine. But getting back to the topic of hidden gems, there is one that I found that I would recommend. It's this little game called To the Moon. I haven't played it yet, by the way, but everything I've seen about it looks incredible. And it looks really pretty, and I can't wait to play it. So
I'm going to step in here because that was my hidden gem sale too.
Take it. So you've probably played it. I haven't.
I did play it. It's only about three and a half hours long, and it's much more of an interactive story than it is a game.
Looks cute.
It's built on RPG Maker, so it's got a very SNES vibe, which I was very okay with. I bawled like a baby basically through the entire game. Oh, the feels are strong with this one. Without getting too deep, on a very basic level, the plot is you play as these two scientists who have worked for a company and have a machine that let patients on their deathbed, it will rewrite their memories so that they'll be able to fulfill what their one greatest dream is.
Oh, wow.
And so they go to this house and they meet this and this guy who's already in a coma. So they go into his memories and they talk to him from like 3 days before, just so they can figure out what that dream is. And he wants to go to the moon, but he has no idea why. It's like he just has this, I absolutely need to be there. It plays kind of Memento style, where you start, the first chunk of the game is you going backwards through his life. And as you go backwards through his life, you start getting more and more of the picture in kind of a weird way. And there's a lot of other questions that go on. Basically, like, the first third of the game will make you cry, because as you start going backwards through his life, you start realizing what goes on. And then the last third of the game will just make you crushed. It will crush you.
Ugh.
So,
I only managed, from my economic exploits, I only managed to pick up three things. First, there was this game called Receiver. It's this really, apparently it was like a 72-hour game challenge. The devs had 72 hours to just pump something out. And what they came up with was a roguelike FPS where the whole central mechanic of the game is step by step reloading a gun. Just, okay, open the magazine, drop the magazine, take that one away, put the new one in, slide it into the receiver, pull back the slide, and you're good to go. It sucks. I'm going to be really honest. It sucks, and I regret buying it.
It looks kind of quirky.
It's,
but yeah,
for being made in 72 hours, it's pretty damn good, but the environments don't bother me. They're kind of plain and boring, but you know what? Fine. It's kind of stylized. I kind of like the look. But the controls for the gun make it impossible to aim with any kind of accuracy. Like, I find myself thinking I could do this better in real life, which is never a thought I should be having, ever.
Jesus.
And it's, as judging it as something that was pumped out in 72 hours, I would say give it a pass, but it's being sold on Steam now, so I'd love to see it refined more and made a little more playable. Because I always die inside of like 3 minutes of playing, and it's not fun at all. Apart from that, I picked up Super Meat Boy, which I think we all know and love.
If you claim to be an indie gamer and you've never played Super Meat Boy, you are a terrible human being.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I have it now, and I've played it, and I loved it. I loved the hell out of it.
I'm not an indie gamer.
It's so good.
Yeah, that's different then.
I mean, I liked Trine, but I don't know how deep into the indie game scene Trine would count as.
It counts.
Funny little story about Super Meat Boy, because I got that game freshman year of college when it came out, I think it was freshman year of college. Anyway, the point is, I still haven't gotten past the first world because I always get killed by the boss. And then I watch my brothers play it, and they do it the first time, and I'm just like, oh.
The best Super Meat Boy thing that I ever did, last November, I was still working on active staff for an anime convention. And since me and my buddy Jason, who I started my small business with, we were the coordinators for the main programming room. So I had access to two, what were they, like 12-foot screens, two of them. And I had my computer sitting on the stage because it ran all the video and for the raves and for some of the events. And Jason had rented a 5,000-watt sound system for his raves, and he had all of his audio equipment. So one morning, like the first morning, the Friday morning, before people were showing up, and even when some people were showing up because we didn't care, we plugged in the Xbox controller to my computer and started playing the biggest game of Super Meat Boy that I think's ever been played, and just pumped the soundtrack to the point where the entire convention center could hear this rock music going from Super Meat Boy's soundtrack.
Awesome!
It was pretty awesome.
I can imagine.
So good. The guy that does the music is incredible. DB Soundworks, I forget his actual name, David something, but he's done a couple other games now, and he's just, the guy's got a touch with music production.
It's very talented. Yeah. I also picked up Fallout 3.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Did you start it?
Yeah, I've gotten about to the point where you're supposed to go and go to the radio station. I'm not too terribly far into it, but I've been side questing and all that.
That's actually where I am, too. Yeah. Even though I got it like a couple of years ago, I just didn't really get a chance to play it. So.
A funny story about that, actually. You know, I got it for like $5 on the Steam sale because one of my trading card drops was a foil, so I got to sell it for like $7. Jerks. Yeah. About 2 weeks after the Steam sale ends, I see that the daily deal on Steam is the Fallout 3 Game of the Year edition with all the DLC for $5. I'm like, you couldn't have waited. You couldn't have told me that this was happening, or you couldn't have put the Game of the Year edition on the Steam sale.
Well, that's the thing. I got the Game of the Year edition, and I got out of the vault, and I started playing. I was like, I don't like this. because it's maybe because it's trying to be a shooter, but it's not a shooter.
No, it's an action RPG.
And that's where I can't get with it. I need the shooter. I need the visceral.
Mm,
so,
man.
So, just like kind of like when I played Rage, I was like, God, this game has been done better, and it was called Borderlands.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I just want to sidetrack here and like bitch about something.
Go for it.
I started my gaming with, like, you know, Riven back in the 90s. I mean, I think my very first PC game was Star Trek Borg, which is kind of an interactive video.
I remember that one.
But Riven was, like, you know, to me was, like, the amazing thing. I played that on, like, three different computers because I just loved the shit out of that game. And so I considered myself an adventure gamer. I played a lot of the good classics like Grim Fandango, Monkey Island, what have you. I have realized lately that I am no longer an adventure gamer.
Oh.
I started playing The Walking Dead, and the way the game is playing, I cannot. It's not something I can do anymore. I need to have a gun or be able to run and climb things or a sword or something. Like, I need to be able to, like there's a scene where I'm sitting there, like, I can't move the camera to where it must want me to do it. And I'm, like, moving around, like, this feels so retarded, and this is why. Like, if you've read that story about, like, you know, adventure games committed suicide, this is kind of a perfect example of, like, the game being retarded, and I just can't get with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard such good stuff about it, like the story, and, you know, you definitely define how it plays, but I just decided, I guess I'm just not an adventure gamer anymore. Mm-hmm. And I get into RPG shooters, like, Deus Ex is very RPG shooter. You know, there's a lot of, like, leveling up various traits, but it's still visceral. I still have a direct control of the gun. The bullet goes where the crosshair is at, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah,
just had to say that.
I get what you're saying. Like, I think I love adventure games, generally speaking, but I think a lot of problems with games, especially those kinds of games, is that they forget that the point of the game is that it's supposed to be fun. And if game is not fun to play, if it doesn't have, like, good game feel, then it becomes cumbersome and you just sort of get irritated, you know?
There is a news story about the declining attention span of Americans, and I wonder if that's where I'm at. Like, I'm starting to just lose patience for long cutscenes.
Uh-huh. It's possible.
And interactive elements where you're more passive than interactive.
Well, you know? I think you'd be more passive because everything is a lot more spelled out these days. There's, you know, they make a point of showing you everything instead of just, you know, kind of giving you a glimpse and letting you fill in the rest. But that begs the question: did you have a, you know,
a Steam game?
Yeah.
No, I didn't buy anything from the summer sale. The only thing I want is Last Light, and it's not going to be on sale anytime soon.
Well, then what have you been playing? We'll wrap this up here, and we'll tell everyone what have you been playing lately.
What have you been playing?
A lot of my games have, like, second playthroughs that are partially played through. It's because we're in the kind of the quiet period between now and the next generation.
Mm.
So the game I'm just eating up right now is Dishonored, and I'm having trouble restraining myself because I know that if you're sneaky with your kills, you can keep your chaos level low.
Mm.
And so I'm like, hell yeah, I'm killing everybody.
Yeah, what about you, Al? What about you, Eric?
For the most part, I've been actually kind of getting back to playing some of the back catalogs. So I've been plowing through Saints Row the Third because nothing's prettier than a gruff dude with, you know, bandages on his nose and bright blue pigtails and a hot dog costume.
I have to control this erection.
Yep.
So this gives you the strangest weenie?
This gives me... I have the weirdest boner playing that game. So sometimes I've been doing that, and I've been getting into watching Kerbals explode. I'm getting very good at that.
I hear that game is hard.
It is very
so
hard.
It's hard.
It's hard in a Dwarf Fortress kind of way, where you hope to God that you lose.
because it's kind of hilarious.
Fun.
It's surprisingly accurate. Like, you can tell it's still a beta, and they're pretty blatant about it. There are obvious things aren't in place, like air resistance in relation to shapes isn't in place, so, like, nose cones actually hurt you more simply by adding weight as opposed to by adding aerodynamic properties.
Mm.
And other things involving air resistance aren't in yet, namely, like, re-entry. So you can literally re-enter with like all your Kerbals sitting in seats outside, and they're just going to love the ride. but at the same time, I mean, it scratches my construction itch and just general. I grew up as a NASA kid. My dad used to contract with NASA for some satellite projects, so this was a huge thing for me. I've just been geeking out over this.
Yeah.
Well, how about you, Pat? What are you even up to?
What have I been playing? Well, I mean, I'm trying to job hunt, so I don't actually have a lot of time to game right now.
You don't have a lot, but you have some. What are you playing? Come on.
I was getting there, Dick. So what I've been
playing...
You must
tell me now!
What I've been playing are a couple things. First is Cave Story, which I've already said I've been playing, but the problem is I actually, like, restarted. I'm like, I'm actually going to play this all the way through right now.
It's so good!
It's really addictive.
Especially
in the way
if you were a fan of, like, Metroid, you will adore Cave Story.
It's really addictive in only a way a Metroidvania game can be, you know? Mm. It's just got that nice, bam, 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 oh, I can upgrade the gun, and you just feel really happy when you do that kind of thing, when you see that your little spurts are getting... There's just something about it that evokes pleasant. And again, DB Soundworks worked on the revamped soundtrack to it, and it's just really nice to listen to. It's just mixed really well. I've also been playing Star Wars Jedi Knight 2.
Finally!
Yeah, Jedi Knight
2. Oh, that's a classic.
Jedi Knight 2 and KOTOR, which I just restarted. So that's what's on my gaming agenda right now. Also,
Jedi Knight 2, just so you know, there's a way that you can, like, run towards an enemy, jump, and attack at the same time and do a little swipe their head off while you flip over them.
Nice.
Just letting you know that.
Very cool.
It's kind of awesome.
What have I been playing? I don't know if I mentioned this on the cast or before we started recording, but I've been trying to catch up with the Assassin's Creed series, so I recently started up playing Brotherhood, and that's been pretty fun. I miss all of my old gear, like the jump move where you can grab a ledge that's a little higher than you, or
you can. You just have to upgrade your gear.
Yeah, I know. I just miss having it right off the bat because it was a skill that you learned, not a piece of equipment. So you should be able to use it right off the bat.
And they use the exact same progression in Revelation, which sucks.
Yeah, and I miss having the second hidden blade, too, so I can just go to two guards that are standing duty, and then just go
it doesn't take too much longer to get that back. And, yeah. and just be glad that they never made another Assassin's Creed game ever after that.
We'll get there. We'll get there.
I don't know what you're talking about, because Brotherhood was the best, and it was the end, and I was happy.
Yes.
All joking aside, though, it looks like 4 might be promising. We'll have to see. But
if you could skip the boat stuff, it would be. But I'm curious, why aren't you playing it on PC?
Because my roommate had it for 360 as well, and I'm poor.
Okay. I just prefer the PC experiences after because of the tearing that happens because the graphics are starting to reach the point where the consoles can't keep up with it.
And I would ask David what he's been playing, but he bugged out on us earlier. Well, you guys weren't paying attention.
I'm playing My Little Pony, the Happy Little Fan Game, and it's so wonderful with rainbows and balloons and...
David will kill me.
Wait, Duncan, you're back?
That's staying in. I'm
nice,
not
he
editing
just came
that
back.
Out.
He just spoke. It's crazy.
Hi, Patrick. How are you?
Yeah, like, here's a fun little game for you all listening out there. See if you can identify when he leaves. You will never know, because we don't either.
Yeah, well, he didn't speak the whole time.
The closest person will get a free Steam game. No, you won't. But
we'll give you a free punch to the face.
I actually wonder, do I even have games to give?
Well,
so who's next? Who hasn't said what they're playing right now?
I think that's everyone,
We all have.
Okay.
Well, in that case, I guess we'll wrap it up here. I guess you'll hear from us eventually. Hopefully we'll start doing this a little more often.
Yeah.
I'm Wing. This is Jonathan.
See you guys.
Eric.
My Guinness is gone, and I am sad.
Pat.
I didn't have something clever to say the first time, and I don't know.
And the no longer here David, whose name
See
I almost
guys.
Forgot.
I'm going to go play with my pony.
For the record, I'm a brony too. But...
Oh, come on,
you don't need
but
to
whatever.
Tell me that.
Yes, I do.
I don't
I'm
know
without
these
shame.
People.
Full disclosure.
In the interest of full disclosure, yes.
Just take your pants off, get comfortable, and we'll do this.
Okay. Guess who's here?
Yay! Ponies.
Oh god, I'm surrounded by assholes.
You merely adopted the internet.
Nope. No, we're not doing that. We're not doing that.
Molded by it.
It was a whole year ago, bro.
Don't give a shit.
I like that. Alright, so I put the tagline in the chat room.
You
see it?
The best way to do the Bane voice, though, right? You gotta get a glass.
And put it in front of your face so that it sounds like this. That's how you do the Bane voice, Mr. Wayne.
And there you go. There you go.
So it sounds something like this.
Oh my god.
Exactly like that, Mr. Wayne.
I missed you guys.
I'm so proud that I actually didn't start this random rash of stupidity.
When we have all been organized, I do have my permission to record.
I have been recording.
Oh, fuck.
I have it all.
Screw you, Patrick. This is all on the internet.
I feel old. Let's do this.
I can't focus. Until. Here we go.
Yeah,
I was away from my computer. What was it?
Oh, we were just saying very bad things about you.
Oh,
yeah. Fucking asshole.
Yep. Wouldn't see me if I wasn't.
I love silly voices. Are we doing this again? Yes, we are. The Batman.
That's so funny.
What am I going to do with you people?